Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Raymond Limited Q3 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Antique Stock Broking Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Priyanka Trivedi from Antique Stock Broking. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking, I would like to welcome all the participants in the earnings call of Raymond Limited. I have with me Mr. J. Mukund, who is the Head of Investor Relations of Raymond Limited. Without taking further time, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Mukund. Over to you, Mukund.
Thank you, Priyanka. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us for our Q3 FY23 earnings call of Raymond. I hope you would have received a copy of our results presentation. Today, I would like to urge you to go through this along with the disclaimer slides. Today, we have with us from senior management Raymond, Mr. S.L. Pokarna, who is Director of Raymond Limited, Mr. Amit Agarwal, Group CFO, Mr. Sunil Kataria, CEO of Lifestyle Business, Mr. Harmohan Sahni, CEO of Realty Business, and Mr. Jatin Khanna, Head of Corporate Development. Now, I would like to hand over the call to our Group CFO, Amit, who will give you the brief summary of company's quarterly performance before we open up for Q&A. Over to you, Amit.
Thank you, Mukund. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us today for the earnings call to discuss the results of the third quarter of fiscal 2023. Let me start with a brief overview of the third quarter performance of the current fiscal. The quarter began with the festivals in the month of October, and positive consumer sentiment gave a boost to secondary sales. We witnessed an encouraging consumer demand for occasion wear across all our fabric and apparel brands portfolio. Wedding and festive-related sales have been the highlight of the quarter, thereby contributing to a strong sales momentum. While consumer sentiments were upbeat, there was an increasing consciousness of inflationary pressures that have had an impact on the overall demand. As we progressed during the quarter, the delay in the onset of the winter impacted the sale for winter season. Also, in the apparel category, the quarter witnessed an aggressive end-of-season sale across brands that began in the third week of December. Now, let us discuss about the third quarter fiscal 2023 quarterly performance. Raymond Group has embarked upon a journey of enhancing profitable growth and has maintained the momentum quarter-on-quarter basis across businesses by capitalizing on existing offerings along with a new range of products and services. Our sustained focus on cost and working capital optimization has reaped results in improving our performance across businesses. We are happy to share that the third quarter fiscal 2023 recorded the highest ever quarterly revenue, reaching the milestone of 2,200 crores for the first time. This is the fifth consecutive quarter of record performance. Our consolidated revenues have grown significantly by 18% to 2,200 crores from 1,871 crores in the third quarter of fiscal 2022, which is spread across all B2C and B2B businesses in domestic markets and garmenting business in export market as well as real estate business. Additionally, I am delighted to share that we have clocked highest quarter three EBITDA of 351 crores, which with an EBITDA margin of 15.9% in the last 10 years. Also, as compared to pre-pandemic levels for the same quarter, we have delivered profitable growth across segments with the revenues in the third quarter of fiscal 2023 higher by 15% vis-à-vis 1,905 crores in the quarter three of fiscal 2020, and EBITDA margin at 15.9% in the third quarter of fiscal 2023 was higher by about 410 basis points as versus 11.8% in the third quarter fiscal 2020. Now, I would like to discuss Raymond Limited has exercised the option of new corporate tax rate regime during the current quarter. Raymond Limited had carried unabsorbed tax losses due to disruption caused by COVID-19 pandemic. As per the accounting standards, the company made deferred tax asset at the rate of 34.94% at the then prevailing rate as per the old tax regime. However, over the last few years, the company reported strong operational performance. Owing to set off the past losses with the current profits, the company was not liable to pay tax under the normal provisions of the Income Tax Act. However, continuing with the old tax regime, the company was liable to pay MAT, which is Minimum Alternative Tax, under Section 115JB of the Income Tax Act, though there was no taxable profit after setting off the carried past tax losses. Hence, the company decided to opt for the new tax regime under 115BAC of the Income Tax to optimize the tax cash outflow. Since the tax rate for the company has now reduced to 25.17%, as per the accounting standards, the company has remeasured the deferred tax asset, which resulted into one-time charge to the P&L of the current quarter. Let me explain the one-time charge in more detail. The company reversed the current tax provision, deferred tax asset, and MAT credit under old tax regime recognized till previous year ended 31st March 2022 and 6 months ended September 2022. This has resulted in one-time net impact of 73.5 crore in financial statements for the third quarter fiscal 23 and 9 months ending this 31st December 2022. Current tax rate for the quarter 3 fiscal 23 is 20% and 9 months ending 31st December 2022 is 26%. Excluding this one-time impact, our normalized PAT is 168 crore, which is 68% higher than 100 crore in the previous year. On a reported basis, our PAT is 95 crore after incorporating the one-time impact of 73.5 crore. Now I would like to explain the seasonality of the business, as we are going to discuss the segment-wise performance for the quarter. Generally, the second quarter of the financial year, which is July to September, is a stronger quarter for us, as we do primary sales to our trade partners across India to cater to the festive and the wedding season in the third quarter. However, last year, in the second quarter, in the month of July and August, we had the impact of second pandemic wave, which resulted in primary sales being spilled over to September and October month. However, due to seasonality and the second pandemic wave, the purpose of comparison, we should consider the performance of quarter two and quarter three together for a better explanation. Now, let me explain you our segment-wise performance for the third quarter. Branded textile segment maintained a quarter-on-quarter strong performance with a top line of 900 crores and an EBITDA margin of 20.9%. Now, if we consider quarter two and quarter three figures together, the top line has reported a strong 12% growth to 1,814 crores compared to 1,621 crores for quarter two and quarter three of last year. As the festival started from the first week of October month, our primary sales were well spread from mid-August to September, which ensured that retail outlets are fully geared up with our festive offerings to the consumers. This robust revenue performance reflects a strong demand for our product offerings with latest designs across categories in suitings and shirting fabrics. Given the festivities during the quarter, there was higher demand for our products for personal consumption as well as gifting. Post-festivities, the trade channel sales gained momentum in anticipation of the impending wedding season in the fourth quarter. Additionally, we continue to focus on product innovations and saw trade partners showing a positive response for our new product launches. In the suitings business, demand for wool-rich blend and premium polyviscose categories continued along with an uptick in gifting solutions in the festivity period. Premiumization in products through our exotic collection and new product innovations such as Panex, Supernova and Techno Series have been well received by customers. Let me talk about our B2C shirting business, which introduced new products which are in tune with the fashion sensibilities for the new season. The third quarter also sustained the trend of evolving shopping patterns, where we saw a growth in the average transaction value by 25% across our 1,000 plus TRS stores spread across to 600 cities and towns as compared to previous year. With the weddings in the quarter, the trend of high value purchase continued during the third quarter as well. Now, the segment reported a robust EBITDA margin of 20.9% achieved by diversified product mix in suiting as well as shirting fabrics along with enhanced operational efficiencies. Now, let me talk about the branded apparel segment, which reported a sales of 364 crores with an EBITDA margin of 11.2% in the quarter. Considering quarter 2 and quarter 3 together, the top line has reported strong 37% growth to 734 crore compared to 537 crore for quarter 2 and quarter 3 of last year. This clearly reflects that our offerings imbibing latest designs in line with the fashion trends was well received by consumers. During the quarter, the performance was seen across brands like Park Avenue, Colorplus, Raymond Ready to Wear and Park, which offer a plethora of options for consumers to on various occasions. The wedding season saw a positive demand momentum for ethnic wear, and we launched a wide collection ranging from smart ethnics to wedding wear, and we expanded our presence in the segment through the brand Ethnics by Raymond. The performance for apparel segment was driven across our trade channels and the retail network of EBOs and the TRS shops. The EBO network has been performing well, and it is encouraging to see the overwhelming response from our customers who choose to visit our branded apparel stores that offer a great shopping experience. Our new collections in core product portfolio and casual category are well placed with attractive pricing propositions in line with our plan to make a strong foray into the ethnic wear segment through our brand Ethnics by Raymond. We opened 21 exclusive stores, and till date we have got overall 46 stores across the country. The segment reported a double-digit EBITDA margin of 11.2% as compared to 10.7% in the same quarter previous year, driven by continued operational efficiency. Let me talk about the retail network. During the year, we have continued strengthening our retail footprint with net addition of 49 stores across metros, tier 1 to tier 4 towns, making a total count to 1400 stores spread across 600 towns as on 31st of December 2022, compared to 1351 stores as on 31st of March 2022. With festivities in the third quarter of the year, we witnessed strong traction in secondary sales with significant improvement in average transaction value. As mentioned earlier, the TRS network reported 24% growth in average transaction value as compared to previous year's same quarter. Now let us talk about the garmenting business, where we reported a strong growth of 39% to 282 crore compared to 203 crore in previous year due to higher demand from our existing and newly acquired global customers. With a strong order book and the China Plus One policy adopted by leading global brands have contributed steadily to the garmenting business. The EBITDA for the quarter in the garmenting segment stood at 26 crore with an EBITDA margin of 9.1%, while it was 17 crores of EBITDA in the previous year with EBITDA margin of 8.6%. The EBITDA margin improved mainly due to operational efficiency. Now, about our high-value cotton shirting segment, which has reported a robust growth of 32% to 195 crore compared to 148 crore in the previous year, led by strong demand from our domestic B2B customers for cotton fabric. The segment reported EBITDA margin of 10.7%, for the quarter as compared to 8.6% in the previous year, mainly on account of better capacity utilization for catering to higher number of orders and operational efficiencies. Now let us explain the performance of the engineering business, which was consolidated under JK Files and Engineering Limited in the quarter three last year on an aggregate basis. The top line remained flat at 208 crore as compared to the previous year. In the domestic market, with the demand momentum in auto sector higher for most of our product categories, which we witnessed growth in ring gears, drills, bearings and flex plates. In the export market, with inflationary impacted environment, euro currency depreciation and devaluation of currency in certain markets, our B2B customers have deferred certain orders as they are witnessing a slowdown in the secondary demand. On an aggregate basis, the business reported slightly higher EBITDA at 15.8% compared to 15% in previous years. The margin was higher mainly due to operational efficiency. Now let us talk about our newest business, which is the real estate. Raymond Realty has set a new benchmark in the real estate sector in India, and I am delighted to share that as promised to the customers, we have been able to deliver the first three towers of the 10X Habitat project 2 years ahead of RERA timeline. The first of its kind feat has set a new benchmark in the real estate sector. Our premium quality offering in the 1 and 2 BHK project of 10X and premium 3 and 4 BHK of Address by GS, which is backed by fast-paced construction activity, has been well appreciated by the customer. The sales grew by 67% to 292 crores from 175 crores in the previous year, and the EBITDA margin stood at 25.5% as compared to 20.8% in the previous year. The top line growth was driven with increased number of bookings in both the projects, with construction momentum being maintained. The total booking value for both the two projects for the quarter is 380 crore and for the current year is 1137 crore. This highlights the continued strong demand for our value-based differential product offering. Now let me provide some project-wise details. Our first project, 10X Habitat, received 151 bookings with a booking value of 192 crores in the current quarter. In total, the total bookings are 2,337 as on 31st of December 2022, which accounts for about 75% of the total units with a booking value of 2,402 crores. Our new premium residential project, the Address by GS, which was launched in third quarter of fiscal 2022, continued to receive great response from customers with 62 bookings with a booking value of 188 crore in this quarter. The total booking made for this project accounts for 411 units, which is 75% of the total units with a booking value of 1,022 crores. On the construction front, fast-paced construction activity continued in all 10 towers of the 10X Habitat project and the two towers of the Address by GS project. Now let me start with the project-wise construction details. In the 10X Habitat project, the tower-wise construction is as follows. As stated earlier, we have received occupational certificate for the first three towers, and from tower 4 to 8, the terrace slab has been also completed, and tower 9, 16th slab completed, and tower 10, 15th slab has been completed. As far as the progress on second project is concerned, the Address by GS, podium 5 and podium 3 have been completed for tower A and tower B respectively. Now let me talk about the operating cost, working capital as well as the cash flows. In terms of an operating cost for the quarter, our OPEX to sales ratio is slightly higher at 26.7% as compared to 25.5% in the same quarter last year, and 30.4% of pre-COVID levels of Q3 fiscal 20. On an absolute value basis, our revenues have increased by 18% to 2,200 crore. However, our OPEX cost has increased by 23% to 588 crore from 478 crore as compared to same quarter of previous year. Also, as compared with pre-COVID levels, while revenues has increased by 15% on absolute terms, our OPEX cost has marginally increased by 1% to 588 crore in Q2 fiscal 23 as compared to 580 crore in Q3 fiscal 20. At Raymond, we continue to stay focused on costs and numerous initiatives have been undertaken which are instrumental in achieving desired cost efficiencies over the last 2 years. The increase in cost is mainly on account of inflation which has impacted wages and other incidental costs. Also, with a sustained focus to drive growth and build a strong brand equity for the future, we are investing in advertising, sales promotion and retail expansion for future revenue and growth potential. On the working capital front, with our continued focus on efficient working capital management, during this quarter, we have been able to reduce the net working capital days to 55 days, which is lower by 7 days on quarter-to-quarter basis from 62 days in September 22 and similar on year-to-year basis with net working capital at 54 days in December 2021. We have seen some strong cash collections in place which has been able to help the reduction in receivables. On an absolute terms, our net working capital is lower by 176 crores to 1316 crore in December 22 vis-a-vis 1492 crores in September 2022. Now let me tell you about the cash flow. That at the back of strong profitability, we generated operating cash flows of 492 crore and a free cash flow of 416 crore. And the free cash flow has been primarily used for debt reduction. So our gross debt stood at 2022 crore as on 31st of December 2022. We continue to maintain strong liquidity levels with cash and cash equivalents of 1090 crore as compared to 810 crore as on September 30, 2022. The cash and cash equivalents are a combination of cash and bank balances and short-term investments. Overall, our net debt reduced by 354 crore and it stood at less than 1,000 crore at 932 crore as on December 31, 2022 as compared to 1,286 crore as on 30th of September 2022. This is the highest net debt reduction in a quarter through internal accruals. There is an increase in the interest cost in the fiscal quarter 3 of 23 at 70 crore, which is higher by 13 crore on a year-on-year basis as compared to 57 crore. In an increasing interest rate scenario, our interest borrowing cost has increased to 7.92% in the third quarter as compared to 7.65% in second quarter of fiscal 23 and higher interest on lease liabilities on account of increase in the stores which is taken on rental basis as well as the notional interest due on the deferred approval cost for the real estate project. Overall, our net debt to equity ratio, which was already at a comfortable level of 0.45x in March 2022, has further reduced to 0.33x in December 2022. Now let me take you through the current status of operations and the near-term outlook. The beginning of the fourth quarter witnessed modest consumer sentiment as the discretionary spend have been moderate in the inflationary environment as market is experiencing toned down impulse purchases by consumers. On the ongoing apparel EOSS, the consumer demand uptick is relatively moderate. Also, the inflation pressure for the last three quarters has led to a K-curve recovery where the discretionary spend have been impacted for the low-income households while there is an upsurge in consumption of high-income households. With CPI inflation pressure easing off and pro-middle class budget, we expect the consumption to improve over the coming months. In the near future, a large number of wedding days are spread in the month of February and March, we expect the trade channel to gain momentum in anticipation of strong secondary sales, which is expected to drive demand. Our pan-India retail network is well geared for the expected surge in the consumer demand owing to the number of wedding days. With regard to store expansion, we are in line to have net additional 70 stores across India in the current year as compared to 1,351 stores at the beginning of the year, primarily driven by Ethnix by Raymond store expansion to cater to the fast-growing ethnic wear market. In the garmenting segment, export levels continue to be China plus one strategy and the global retail industry undergoing consolidation. We have a strong order book in place for the next two quarters. From a raw material perspective, the wool and the polyviscose have remained stable. Over the last couple of years, the cotton prices have increased significantly. However, recently the prices have stabilized but remained at a higher level as compared to pre-pandemic levels. However, we have been able to largely pass it the price increases to our customers with a time lag. In the engineering business, we are witnessing the domestic retail demand in consuming sector healthy and we expect the same to continue. However, in the export market where we cater to multiple sectors across geographies, the inflationary trend continues in economies of European countries and US and currency devaluation of certain developing economies. We are working closely with our customers in assessing the demand and catering the requirement for them. From raw material cost perspective, the steel prices have been an inflationary trend for the last 1.5 years, which has recently softened a bit. Also, we have the ability to pass on the same, though with a time lag. In the real estate market, we expect the growth momentum in residential market to continue. The construction activities are in full swing in both of our projects, and we expect to stay on course. From a net working capital perspective, over the last 2 years, we have optimized the net working capital in terms of number of days, and we would aspire to maintain those levels on an annualized basis. From a cash flow, there is a continued focus to generate strong operating cash flows from the profitable growth of the business, and our asset-light expansion model is very well in place. However, to address the increasing order book, we are investing into line expansion in the garmenting business and also expanding capacity in certain growth categories in engineering business. Overall, the strong focus continues to generate free cash flows and continue the journey of deleveraging. At Raymond, we are committed to create an organization that upholds our value of trust, excellence, and quality in all what we do. We value your support and look forward to being together with each one of you in this journey. Thank you very much. Now we are open for questions.
Thank you. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Nikhil Jain from Galaxy International. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Congratulations from my side to the management for having a great performance. I have a couple of questions actually. So first was, our net debt is actually down, right? So we have reduced by more than 300 crores, but the interest expenses have been up, as compared to the last quarter. So if you can explain that. So that is question number one. Then second question was with respect to the other expenses. So there is a significant increase of roughly around 2% in other expenses as compared to the last quarter. So if there can be some explanation on that, that would be great. And the third question is on, I just wanted to understand how the traction is on Ethnix. And if you can share some information about, how many stores for Ethnix, what's the kind of turnover, and what's the kind of EBITDA margins that we are making in this business.
Thanks, Nikhil. Obviously, you're right that in the scenario where we are, you know, the interest rate has been consistently increasing, and if you look at the interest rate increase by the RBI is over 2.25%. And if I compare to the previous year, we have an impact. Though the debt has been reduced, however, because of the change in the rate, it costs you in terms of the interest rate rise is to the tune of 7.5 to 8 crores. As well as, you know, as we talked about, we are in a journey of expanding stores, and as per the India's accounting, a portion is going on the rent of these stores. There is an increase of close to 2 crores. And then on top of it, as you know that we are into the real estate business, and the certain approval cost, as per the local government, there is a possibility to defer these payments, and there is an interest which is being charged on the approval cost. So we follow that logic, and there is an interest cost assigned also close to 3.5 crores. So overall, we have this increase of 12 to 13 crores on account of these three major reasons. Then we talk about the other point you had was in terms of other expenses. Primarily, as we said, ki there are two or three things. You know, in the past, last year, as we were coming out of the, COVID, we had primarily cut down a significant amount in terms of advertisement. And so we have gone back into the advertisement. Plus the volume being higher, there is an increase in the freight cost. So if I look at it between advertisement, freight cost, plus our salespeople have started to travel, because as we want to grow our export business and all other businesses, we are seeing a good opportunity for people to travel. So that has increased. So some of these expenditures, what was not there in the last year, and now have started to come back. However, what is important is to see that compared to the pre-COVID level, we are able to still, if you look at the total OPEX cost, we are still exactly at the same level in spite of increasing our revenue by 15%. So I think the increase because of the inflationary pressure have been fully absorbed by the cost optimization which has been done by the company. Now I will ask Sunil to talk a little bit about the ethnics. Sunil? Okay, I think there's some issue in terms of his connectivity. Now I can give you some highlights. You know, we are very clear that in terms of ethnic stores, we are going to open consistently the stores in order to achieve the reach. And as we speak, we have got some 45, 46 stores as we speak today of ethnics, and we expect to reach it to the 75 mark by the end of this year. And we have got very significant presence in the ethnics because of two reasons. We understand the fabric, we understand the wedding market, because we have been serving the wedding market for more than 97 years. So truly, that has given us a good impetus to participate into this market, fast-growing market. At this juncture, you should call that we are in an investment mode, that we are opening the stores, you have a setup cost, people start to come, understand the product. So it is going to take a little while by the time you start seeing truly the big revenues coming out of the ethnics. Hope that answers your question.
Sure. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Abhijit Kundu from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yes, Abhijit.
Yeah, sorry. So my first question was on branded textiles. So branded textiles, we have seen a very flat kind of sales. So whereas, you know, the festive season was good, and then there was, what we have heard is there has been a sort of a moderation during November, and then some pickup was seen in December, but towards the end of December. So, you know, so alluding to your branded textile business one, where can we see a, on a 9-month basis, it shows good growth, but during the quarter, it is on a high base, and hence there is flat sales. One question is that, so why not, you know, growth has been seen? And other part is in your branded apparel business, where do we see the overall profitability going up. So how much further improvement can be seen in the EBITDA margin? Obviously, this is post Ind AS, but how much improvement can be seen in EBITDA margin? And when I look at your branded apparel business, it should settle down somewhere around 1250, 1300 or 1350 crores for the year, looking at the quarterly run rate. At one point in time, it used to be close to about 1500 to 1600 crores. You know, so where do you see? So these are my two questions essentially. One on branded textile, second on branded apparel.
No, absolutely. I think, see, we try to touch base the branded textile, and I think you have a very clear question about the third quarter branded textile. You know, the last year, if I look at it, we were just coming out of the COVID when July was completely COVID impacted and August started in the second half of the August. And then the whole momentum did not take place in the last 15 days of August. So the supplies to, and we are a primary supplier to our dealers and agents. So what happens is that you supply to your dealers, distribution and network, which happened last year in the month of September and October. And this year, if you see, our second quarter results were so strong because that we were following the normal cycle, which was in terms of supplies in the month of July, August and September. And that is one of the reasons. So if you recall, I gave a number that if I take the quarter two plus quarter three sales of the last year to this year, we have grown by 12%. So this year, quarter two plus quarter three branded textile is 1,814 crore vis-a-vis 1,621 crore in the last year. So that is the one very, very important reason which we need to, you know, last year was an aberration. You cannot take a second quarter or a third quarter exactly in a similar manner. And in terms of the branded apparel, if I look at it, you know, we have been consistently improving the margin, and we have talked through that we have a game plan where we really given down on the cost, and we have identified, see, you know, that the last 2 years, hello?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Last 2 years, we shut some of the stores in order to make sure that whichever stores are operating are primarily a profitable store. So therefore, it was a journey where we went down on a revenue. In the last year, we had seen a revenue of 900 crore. This year, you are seeing more like a revenue of 1400 crore. And then we have a growth journey then going after. And similarly, as you get higher revenues, you will start seeing the benefit of the operating leverage.
Yeah.
Okay, and another question over here in branded apparel. You know, overall discounts, I mean, the way I understand branded apparel is run across the industry, is say about 45 to 50% of the overall branded apparel sales is discounted. I mean, and of that, the level of discounts are range from 25% to say 40-45% on the discounted sales. So that's how it all happens, and it has a bearing on the gross margin and hence the EBITDA margin. Have we done some work on the product assortment in branded apparel and tried to bring down the overall discounting, something like that? Anything that has been, some initiatives that have been taken to better understand the product assortment of branded apparel? So that is something very important, and if branded apparel goes back to that 1600 crore number and with a better profitability, then it could lead to a very good re-rating for them.
Hello, hi, this is Sunil here. Can you hear me now? Am I audible?
Yeah, you are.
So I think you raise a very valid point that how well can you play this entire discount, managing in the apparel business is very critical. So I'll tell you two critical actions which we have taken. The first action is we are looking at improving our entire product assortment mix itself. So we have gone brand by brand and looked at how we can do a much more premium assortment play across our brands without losing the critical value points. Now, both are very critical. For example, if there is a price point of, let's say, $1,999 in a shirt, a segment of mine, I don't want to lose that. But at the same time, there are always some very nice, smart tweakings I can do to, premiumize my product assortment, which gives me an overall improvement in the margin play itself. That is a very important exercise that we've done for all our brands. Second, the point you're doing in how can we manage and optimize our discount plays across the seasons. This is an area where across our EBO channel and in case of some of our trade channels also, we have been working on with channel partners as well as our own retail outlets. And while I cannot disclose you the exact number, we have been able to optimize our discounts also in this entire year. Now, coupled with this overall play of improving our product assortment with matching discounts, we are very confident that this has helped us improve our margins. And we are very confident that this, as we scale up, along with the leverage, will help us give strong margins in terms of EBITDA itself on an ongoing basis. What we've also done along with this is, starting September this year onwards, you would have seen our brand coming back on media and even in-store visibility in a big way. Now, we have started investing behind all our brands. You would have seen campaigns happening behind Ethnix. You would have seen campaigns happening between Park Avenue, Color Plus, Raymond. So, whatever profitability we are generating additionally, we are right now in the way of investing behind brands. Because we know that this is a very critical play, especially as we're going to ramp up and open stores going forward. And right now, the next 2 years focus for us is a disruptive growth, an exponential growth in terms of footprint as well as scale up of those stores. And that is what we are building in our current and going forward annual plans as well, that there will be a store expansions, there will be plans behind brand building, we will optimize product assortments and their margins, and we will optimize our discounting so that we could do a very smart balancing of brand building, store expansion without losing our EBITDA leverage.
Okay, and what would be the, total number of stores to be added in the next 2 to 3 years, or what would be the percentage stores to be added? But total number of stores would be more apt.
Amit has already called out in his draft speech already that this quarter itself is going to be a very aggressive quarter for us. We are looking at around 70 odd stores opening. So this itself is one of the biggest quarters that we are hoping that we will definitely deliver this number. And going forward, our intent is to look at least around 300 odd stores over the next, anywhere between, 18 to 24 months, that's what you're looking at across our brands.
And sorry if I missed that, how much of those stores would be in Ethnix?
This quarter one, the next quarter or the year, the next two years you're talking?
Next 2 years. So this quarter also next 2 years.
Yeah. So roughly around, you can say we will roughly around anywhere 100, we would like in the next 2 years to at least have around 200 to 250 odd Ethnix stores.
200 to 250 odd Ethnix stores. Amit alluded to the fact that you have got a very good response to Ethnix. How would you describe your positioning in Ethnix? Because the analysis that we have done in your case is that you are in the mid to higher premium segment. ASP. So your average selling price would be somewhere around 4,000, and you would rather cater to a wide consumer base rather than catering to the.
When you say 4,000 ASP, you're talking of which product? Which product segment in Ethnix? Because there are multiple product segments like the.
Kurta is common. Sherwanis are at the level of.
No, I don't think so. We are an average ASP of 4,000 on a kurta, We are more in the range of around, roughly around 2,700 odd kind of average kurta price point. But I can tell you one thing. We are bang in the middle of the mass premium segment. The largest segment in the Ethnix segment is what you call as the mass premium segment, which is the bulk of the market. And we are right bang in the middle of that. The way we have positioned ourselves, let me explain you that. We see ourselves playing Ethnix across two segments of the market. One is that we'll definitely be in the mass segment, and then we do not want to leave the bottom end of the premium segment as well. So we see ourselves straddling across the top end of the mass as well as the bottom of the premium segment, and hence we call ourselves as the mass premium segment players, because this will help us leverage ourselves very strongly across the bulk of the belly of the market. Secondly, one more piece that we see as a big opportunity area and which is already forming as we are growing right now, a decent size of a business is something what we call as smart Ethnix. we also see that there is a market which is not only wedding related. This is a market which where one trend is happening that Indians are wearing more and more regular ethnic as a more hybrid wear or as a casual wear. This has nothing to do with, like for example, bandis. But in our office itself, or actually most offices you see, bandis are becoming part of a hybrid office wear. It has nothing to do with the bandis which are more brighter festive bandis, which you wear in a Diwali or which you wear on a Dasara. These are bandis which are being worn regularly to office or in an evening dine outs when you want to go. Now that is smart ethnics, and we are also building that segment. Today we believe that segment has not been leveragedly itself as a category itself, and that we are defined as a category expansion, category development task for ourselves. So that's a piece which will happen parallelly. So this brand itself, if I have to define it in a nutshell, obviously it's the, it has all the heritage of Raymond. It has all the great qualities of Raymond. But our design positioning is premium, just in the way Raymond always has been. The language is very, very premium, very what I would call classy, stylish, subtle, very, you know, for individually made kind of designs. And obviously the quality of Raymond is always there. And the markets that we straddle is within the core ethnics market, we'll straddle mass and premium, and we'll parallelly, adjacently category develop the segment of what we're calling as smart ethnics. In fact, that's a name we have given ourselves.
Got it. Thanks a lot. That is from my side.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Himanshu Nayar from Systematix. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my question. So, firstly, just wanted your thoughts on, obviously, we are the leaders in branded suiting, and we hear that at the lower end, especially, there's a lot of, some smaller players are doing quite well there. So, do we see that as a threat to us? Especially at the lower end in branded suiting? I mean, especially given the inflationary pressures that you're talking about, do you see that lower end of branded suiting doing well?
So, look, I'll tell you, simple is, people have the aspiration to wear a Raymond suit. And you know, wedding is such a big market that they have one simple slogan that in the wedding, you can't have without a Raymond suit. So that is one very important. Second thing, you see, you have always different price point markets. One can never say that it is only one price point market. We cater in our segment, we have our tailoring, we have our MTM, we bring lot of things, and therefore you have got a very strong CRM base. We have got a 10 million CRM base, which ensures that people keep coming back and having a repeat customer. And very simple, as I talked earlier, that we have seen 25% year-on-year average ticket value increasing. That reflects that there are enough and more people who want to come, shop and improve. And as we know, and just yesterday, based on the FM's announcement, the 10 lakh crore, when this is going to come as capex into the system, overall, the affluence, the domestic growth, everything goes up. People will continue to go and wear better and better fabric.
Got it, sir. Well understood. The second bit was on, based on the current, how current EOS is also sort of going. How much demand, what sort of near-term demand visibility do you have for our growth momentum to sort of continue at the current rate, especially on the branded suiting and apparel side? And similarly, what's your comment on the inventory health that currently our channel partners have in terms of freshness, etc., especially given the fact that winter was a bit delayed? And do you see some inventory challenge coming in there?
So first of all, there is no EOSS on fabric business of ours. It's only in apparel. Right, so I think, I hope that clarifies. So EOS has no role to play in fabric at all. Was your question related to fabric only?
No, I was asking for both actually, if you can give separate comments.
Yeah, so okay, so fabric, there is no EOS and hence there is no role to play in that. And in terms of apparel, the initial start of EOSS across segments, across the industry was slower. It is initially also because when the winters, they were delayed, but when they set up, the first 15 days of this, as expected in of this year, also saw some very, very severe temperatures across many parts of the country. So obviously at that time, people did not move out. But the last 10 days of the month had a very strong pickup in terms of the EOSS. And we actually are very hopeful that now with wedding season panning out, post mid-month, which always happens post with the onset of Sankranti and Pongal in other parts of the country, the wedding season is looking very well staggered this time. It is not concentrated in maybe 10 days. It is actually well staggered over a 35 odd day period that we will see a very sustained and spread out demand over the next coming quarter. So we don't see any signs of, demand playing truant. While obviously there's a backdrop of this K-curve which keeps playing out, but I think that is something which is a much more macroeconomic factor which we have to keep in mind, but no other factor seems to be at play right now.
And just to mention on the inventory, you know, we are very, very focused that what inventory we will take which we can sell very quickly. And that is very well demonstrated in our net working capital performance that we have brought it down to 59 days compared to an earlier used to be in the 95, 97 days. So very, very clear, both on the inventory and receivable, we will be very tight. We will take a little bit of a hit on the sales, but we will not say that we keep inventory getting. So very, very clear, and we are implementing the best systems in order to ensure that the supply chain is tight.
Understood, sir. That's all from me. Thanks and all the best to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nirav Savai from Abacus Invest.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Yes,
Nirav. Yeah. So my question is regarding the real estate side. Now we are almost sold off 75% of inventory across both the projects. So what is the next plan ahead? I mean, when is the third phase are we planning to launch?
Yeah, so you'll this is Harmohan. You will get good news very soon. We have applied for the RERA registration. The moment we get the registration, it will get launched. So you will get to hear about it very soon.
Right. And also, are we planning to take any price hikes for the residual inventory which we have, because we have very limited inventory left? And going by the sales velocity, the way we are reporting, we would get exhausted very soon.
So if you see the margin trend over the last few quarters or from last year to this year, you would have seen that there is a significant improvement in margin. And it's primarily because of the price hikes that we have taken. And we continue to do that depending on how we see the market. It really all depends on how much market can absorb. So we are not going to leave too much on the table like that. So whatever market can absorb, we will continue to take price hikes from time to time.
Right. And lastly, I think in the initial remarks you had highlighted the milestones achieved on the construction side. Can you please help me out with the same again? I had just missed out. I think first three towers OC has been received and later on.
So the project 10X, 8 towers, we have the superstructure complete.
Okay.
And on the balance 2 towers, we are on the 15th, 16th story. And as far as the other project is concerned, which is addressed by GS, we are at the podium stage now. The parking is getting completed. So on one building, Tower A, the currently it is at P6 level, so the podiums are getting over. And the Tower B is at parking 3 levels.
His question.
Right. Got it. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anushka Chitnis from Arihant Capital Markets Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question and congratulations on a good set of numbers. I wanted to ask about the budget recently. They had mentioned that they will be giving a boost to improve the productivity of ELS cotton in India. What would that mean for Raymond on the garmenting or the high-value cotton shirting side?
What's the point? Can you repeat it?
Can you please repeat it? There was some voice not clear. Hello?
Hello?
Can you come a little closer to the microphone? We couldn't get it.
Yes, sir. So the budget had mentioned that they will be giving a boost to improve the productivity of ELS cotton in India. What would that mean for Raymond on the garmenting and the high-value cotton shirting business?
So, you know, in terms of these incentives, what we have been doing is actually with the China Plus One, what we are truly expecting is a free trade agreement which has been signed by Australia and India. What we expect now is to happen between UK and EU, and that is going to give a significant boost and improve our cost competitiveness. So that is for us the biggest focus. In terms of our other operations, be it the shirting operations, the cotton, the linen, we are doing at the most optimum level in terms of economizing the cost and being a quality producer.
Okay. My second question was about the real estate business. A previous target you had given in the call was a revenue target of 4,200 to 4,300 crores over the next 4 years or so and cash flows of 1,200 crores. Does this include the JDA in Bandra? If not, what would your revised target be?
I don't know where you are quoting these numbers from because these are all new numbers for us. 2,000 and 4,000.
1,200 and 4,000 is all relating to Thane only.
Thane
project only.
Okay, sir, got it.
Yeah, but that is going to come over the years, not
yeah. Got it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touch-tone phones at this time. The next question is from the line of Ms. Priyanka Trivedi from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. My first question is with regards to our export business. So, you know, what is the outlook in terms of these businesses considering the inflationary trends that are going on, so especially in the engineering business? I assume that the garmenting business, we are, you know, full with our order book, but in terms of the engineering business, if you could give us some guidance, that would be helpful.
Sure. So, so Priyanka, as we know, that engineering business, what we are seeing clearly the challenge, because we have been distributing our products into continents like Africa, Latin America, these countries have faced a significant challenge in the foreign exchange. So therefore, that is one. The second thing, there is a significant slowdown in those economies. Now, because of that, we have seen a relatively lower orders coming for the tools business. Now, if we talk about in the auto segment, what we are seeing is that some of the new, what you call, launches have been delayed by the major BMW and other players have delayed in the European market. And that has also led for a delay in our order book. However, there is not going to be any change. It is only going to be shifting by 6 months to 9 months. But at the same time, we are seeing a very, very strong and a robust demand in the domestic segment. If you see, we are talking 4 million cars, a run rate of 4 million cars. The tractor is at a million plus. So these are helping us, and we enjoy some very significant market share with some of the auto majors. Similarly, in the files and engineering business, we are seeing because of this big infrastructure push, that the drill and the cutting tool segment, we have seen a significant growth in that segment. So overall, balancing between the domestic and international, we are seeing a growth. However, on an export market, you are right that there are certain challenges. But hopefully in the next few quarters, we should see a better sign there.
Okay, that's clear, sir. And so my second question is with regards to, you know, if you could just give us a sense on what has been the like-to-like growth or the same-store sales growth over the pre-COVID 3QFY20 levels in the branded apparel space.
So if I look at it pre-COVID level, I think the whole lifestyle business has grown by more than 15%. And in terms of the branded apparel, if I look at it, because we had certain store shuts, and we are doing close to 4.5% growth.
Okay. So the same store sales growth would be around 4%, right?
6%.
6%. Okay. That's it. Thank you. That's it from me.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you very much and looking forward to talk to you in the next quarter. Bye.
Thank you. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.